There's four stoplights, right, brother? And so I thought, well, we'll come pull in here. That'd be a handful of cars. I seen all those cars. I thought, oh boy, you guys are blessed here for sure. I'm impressed by everybody I've heard pray today, especially when the pastor and his staff took me back there. We got on our knees and we called on the name of Jesus. And every prayer I've heard from in there and out here is everybody's wanting the glory of Christ. And that's how it should be. Every prayer I've heard is for the help of others. And that absolutely has blessed my heart. My name is Rob Willis. I am the associate pastor of Buffalo River Baptist. That's my beautiful wife, Miss Erin, out there. She's the youth director. We also lead the worship in the name of Jesus. But my name and my wife's name is not important in what we do. The name of Jesus Christ is what is important. And what he has done on the cross, what he's done in his resurrection, and what he can do for anybody that will call on that name. So as I share my testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I'm going to talk about some terrible things. I'm going to talk about some things I don't like talking about anymore. And I do it for the one single purpose of showing that the name of Jesus is greater than any other name in this world. The name of Jesus is greater than the name of methamphetamine, alcohol, depression, any name you want to put in there. The name of Jesus is indeed much, much greater. I'm going to pray shortly if you're okay with that. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I come because you sent me to glorify Jesus. God, without your anointing, without your presence, I am just a man. Lord, without your spirit, I'm just dirt. And without your creation, I'm not even dirt, God. But Lord, I've come here to offer hope in your name. I've come here, Lord, to make much of your name, God. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to speak to every heart. Speak to every mind. Go through the pews. Go through whatever you decide to do, God. Please let no eye be looked upon me, but every eye be focused on Jesus Christ, Lord. As a brother prayed in the back, hide me so far behind the cross that I cannot even be seen, but only what is seen is you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for who you are. I thank you that you're here with us, God. I pray in the name above every name, Jesus. Amen. In short, my testimony is Jesus Christ. I have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I have no peace outside of Jesus Christ. I have no strength. I have no deliverance. I have nothing outside of the name of Jesus Christ. And I certainly have no testimony outside of Jesus Christ. Couple of verses I always read when the Lord sends me out. Galatians 6:14 says this, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've been crucified to the world and the world been crucified to me. I cannot come here to boast in no man, no church, no denomination, none of those things. I've come here to boast in the cross of Christ. The Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I've come here to boast in the cross. Revelations 12:10-11 says this, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Jesus overcame Satan on my behalf. Jesus overcame methamphetamine on my behalf. Jesus overcame me being diagnosed bipolar on my behalf. Jesus overcame a suicidal spirit. Jesus overcame everything. And by the word of my testimony, which is Christ, I'm going to share those things with you. Psalm 66:16 says this, come and hear all you hear for God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I've came here to declare what Jesus has done for my soul. He can do for your soul. Amen. There is nothing special about Rob Willis. other than I'm wrapped up in my identity in Christ Jesus. There is hope in everything in this world in Jesus. When I share these things, it's because I expose, I break down and show and warn people the dangers of sin and the dangers of not living for the Lord. So, at the end of this, my purpose for sharing this is giving Jesus glory and giving everybody hope. My wife gives hope because she was on the other side of this. She was sober, living a life, watching an addict, an alcoholic, a liar, a thief, a violent, a vulgar person go through that. I found Jesus. There was never a time in my life when I don't remember hearing the name of Jesus, hearing the name God, hearing the Holy Spirit. My first 3 years of schooling was a Christian school. Kindergarten, first, second grade, I was in the Assembly of God Christian school. My mom was a woman who was filled and loved Jesus Christ. I'd wake up in the morning, she'd be crying, reading her Bible, just in love with Jesus. But there's also never a time in my life I don't remember Jesus calling me. Never in my life I didn't remember Jesus was drawing me to himself. My mom had a nervous breakdown when I was probably 5 or 6. Literally, I mean like a literal nervous breakdown. And my whole life, and my family's life, turned upside down. She went headlong into an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction. On both sides of my family is alcoholics, drug addicts, preachers, and followers of Jesus. And that all gets jumbled up sometime. But our life fell completely apart. I woke up to screaming, cussing, fighting. My mom abandoning us. My mom wouldn't pick us up from school. Social workers are trying to take us away. Horrible things. My sister and I both were molested when we were small. I was very broken, very angry. And by the way, my mom is doing great now. My mom is saved and born again, and she's at church with me just about every Sunday. I love my mom. My mom taught me the love of Christ. My grandma taught me to fire hell and brimstone of God. But my mom taught me the love of Christ, okay? So, she's doing well. And her testimony is Jesus Christ as well. She used to lead the testimony service on Friday nights. Anyhow, I had a hole in my soul. Broken. I was angry. I was confused. I was lost. See my real dad 10 or 15 times my whole life. And I left a bigger hole in my soul. Because I had nobody to teach me how to hunt, how to fish, how to fix cars, how to do none of those things. I didn't know who I was supposed to be. So I would try to be the people I seen around me. Very bad idea. My journey into addiction started with music. When I say that, people always look at me funny. What do I mean by that? I was a man who needed to do something with his anger, with his hurt, with his fear and brokenness. And I saw it escape through music. It was just the wrong kind. I was trying to get comfort from all the things I was experiencing. I couldn't find comfort. So I'd listen to music that would talk about anger. I thought it was making me better. It made me more angry. I would listen to music about people talking about how depressed they are. I thought it was making me feel better. I was becoming more depressed. My music progression started out for as older people, Bon Jovi, to Guns N' Roses, to Metallica, to Pantera, to Covenant, and some satanic worship music. That's how far. The Bible says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Music was conforming me to be a very bitter, angry, hurt person. I turned to music for everything. I'd go to sleep listening to music like Pantera saying, I'm going to rise far above Jesus, become God-sized slayer. All those things I thought was helping me was making me vile. And always, it's a hard thing to preach, brother, when you preach to youth kids about be careful with the music. They don't like that. And I do with a warning. Not as a commandment. I'm encouraging the youth. Be careful, and the adults. Be careful what you listen to. It gets in here. When it gets in here, it don't leave. Now, I wanted nothing to do with alcohol, with drugs, the violence, the things I've seen growing up. I'd say I hated my mom, hated my brother. They'd both be going to jail at the same time, sitting in AA classes together. I wanted nothing to do with that lifestyle. Hurt and scarred. But if I was going to be a rock star, I used to think God gave me a talent for drums, because I learned drums just like that. What I found out was, now I play guitar, so I don't know if God gave it to me or the devil did drums. I ain't played drums in 20 years. But I decided I was going to be a rock star, because the rock stars understood me. They understand how I was feeling, so on and so forth. So I started playing drums, and God gave me the ability. Whoever gave me the ability, I could hear a song, I was able to play it. So I was going to get in this band. My guitar player was literally a Satan worshiper. But I said I would never drink, never do drugs, never, never, never do those things. But when you're a rock star, what are you supposed to do? You drink, you party, you have a good time, right? Even though both sides of my family, alcoholics, drug addicts, and I hated it. When I was 12 years old, guess what? I never turned into a yit. 12 years old was the first time I got drunk. I remember being 8, 9, my sister and I trying to drink beer, my mom. But drunk for the first time, I was 12. But I said, young people, I said I would never do drugs. No way. Drugs are for losers. No way. Well, I'm never going to do drugs. Guess what? I never turned into a yit when I was 13. Guess what? Started smoking pot. Pot is harmless, right? It's much better than alcohol, they say. It don't hurt nobody. Well, it hurt me. It opened up a door to some terrible things. What kind of 13-year-old kid buys pot, sells pot, runs around with pot? That's not right. But still yet, I said, I will never do hard drugs. Pot's okay. Never do hard drugs. Guess what? By the time I was 15, guess what I was doing? Pain pills. Now keep in mind, I grew up hearing all about Jesus. I grew up in church, youth group. I grew up hearing all those things. It was a fairy tale to me, but I heard about them. When I was 15 years old, my sister, I was 15, so she would have been 16 or 17, ran around these older guys. And I looked up at this guy. I thought, man, this guy's cool. He plays guitar. He's a rebel. He's all these things. Real good friend. He talked me in to get into my mom's purse. My mom had several back surgeries. She had all kinds of pain medication. 15 years old. So I said, all right, let's do it. So I take a bunch of pain pills. Went out drinking vodka. Went out and got a motorcycle wreck. I remember him, my good friend, cares so much about me. You know what he did for me? He drugged me after he picked me up and led me on the porch and drove off. Led me there to die. My sister come and picked me up. Didn't realize I was literally dying. I had so much pain medication vodka in me, I was dying. My sister picked me up and took me home, and I was laying on the couch. And all I can remember is blood just trying to run in my nose. All I remember was it's like a dream where you can't run, you can't move. My body was literally dying. They picked me up. At that time, blood was coming out of my mouth as well. I overdosed. Called the ambulance. I remember my sister saying, don't die, don't die. Her friend crying, living blue eye. Called the ambulance. By the time I got the ambulance, I just remember fading in and out. An ambulance driver saying, this kid's not going to make it. Life flies to me from blue eye to Springfield. And what I found out later, my heart stopped for over 2 minutes. Over 2 minutes. I remember waking up in the hospital, 15-year-old kid, with a tube down his throat, pumping out pain pills still. I should have been dead and stayed dead. Here's what I want to encourage the young kids. When I go to a youth group or youth camp, this is what Jesus said. I was 15 years old, okay? This is what Jesus says in Matthew. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter my kingdom. He says, but whoever does the will of the Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Guys, I prayed that little magic prayer when I was 12, 13, 14, but I wasn't saved. I've been in a youth group, but I wasn't saved. Got baptized, but wasn't saved. Here's what I'm saying. When I was 15 years old, I knew very well there was a real heaven. There's a real hell. I knew very well I was living wrong. I was living in sin. I knew very well if God didn't show mercy on me when I was 15 years old, I know very well where I'd be right now. I rejected Christ. I was living a wicked life. So I encourage you, young people, not everybody calls on the name of the Lord is saved unless you call on it with your heart. Not everybody who comes to church is saved. Not everybody who's part of a youth group is saved. Not as older people pray a prayer. Jesus says, but those who does the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Lord showed me great, great mercy. When I was 16, I said, I've never drank again. Got out of the hospital, scared to death, terrified, because I knew I was that close to spending eternity in hell. That close. Said, I never drank again. Matter of fact, my mom bought me a double bass drum set. She said, I will buy this for you if you never drink or do drugs again. I said, sold. But that never turned into yet as well. I remember the first time I drank after that happened was with the same guy who was supposed to be my friend. My hands were shaking like that. So I didn't know if I was going to live or die. From 16 to 19, I moved out. I had a full-time job when I was 14. I worked construction from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 16 to 19, if anybody's from Blue Eye, they probably heard the name Rob Willis, and that's not a good name, and I'm not bragging about that. That's terrible. I've done some horrible things. Drinking, fighting, just ignorant stuff. When most of my friends was graduating high school, going to college, I was a 16-year-old kid living with a 21-year-old woman that was a bartender. I grew up way too fast. 18, I was sick of it. Sick of the fighting, sick of all this stuff. And here's when Jesus really started reaching out to me. I was sick of it. Started reading the Bible, I'll never forget, starting in the book of Matthew. The words was literally jumping off the page into my heart. God was revealing himself, his glory. Reading the book of Proverbs, I mean, it was transforming me. I felt joy. I felt peace in Jesus. He was just going out of his way to make himself known to me. It was just awesome. The problem was I had a very bad drinking problem at that time. At 19 years old, I could not stay sober more than a week and a half. So I couldn't stay with the Lord. I kept going back. The Bible says this, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. Guys, I sowed much sin in my life, much alcohol in my life, and I was reaping it. But instead of running to Jesus, I would run from Jesus. Fed hell long into alcoholism. When I was 19, I had a third-degree assault charge in Stone County, Missouri. Had DWI number 1 in Boone County. And the very next weekend, I had DWI number 2 in Carroll County. I was going to court. 2 different states, 3 different counties. What I do, I knew I was in trouble. So I run the church, run back to the world. Run the church, run back to the world. There was no relief, absolutely no relief. Notice I said church, I didn't say Jesus. I ran to the church. Got in some more trouble. Got my DWI number 3. Nearly killed my brother in a car wreck. Flipped it end over end. And I lost all hope. My alcoholism was so bad, I could not keep a job. Lost my place to live. Lost everything I had. Everything. And I couldn't go on living like that no more. When I was 21 years old, my brother and I, my family, was drinking cooking wine. Mouthwash. I've overdosed 3 times in my life. Once was on pain medication, 2 times on mouthwash. I was hospitalized for drinking mouthwash. And I can promise you I wasn't doing that because it was so much fun and so good. That's how bad my alcoholism was. Lost complete hope. Satan introduced me to methamphetamine when I was 21. And guys, I encourage you to hear this. Methamphetamine is a spirit of Satan. It'll make you a vile liar, make you steal from your grandma, from your mom. The Bible says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I was killing myself, almost killed other people. Steal and destroy from methamphetamine. I'm showing these things intentional to let you know. I don't know who's sitting in here. But I know Jesus is speaking to somebody. I know Jesus is offering hope. I don't enjoy talking about this stuff, especially in a public setting. But when I get to the part where Jesus radically changed me, guess who gets all the glory? guess who gets all the praise? I was 22, went into my first treatment center. Four more to follow. Teen challenge. Halfway houses, homelessness. There was two suicide attempts I'm not going to share because there's kids in here. It's too vulgar and violent. Where Satan was trying to kill me. In the middle of it, when I was sitting inside of a bathtub getting ready to end my life, because I was convinced that's the best thing I could do for myself and everybody around me, I heard the voice of God. I was cooking dope in Hoopson Home Run there in Harrison. I was sitting on the bathtub getting ready to end my life. Remember, I was never going to drink, never going to do drugs, never going to do all these different things. And I fell into it. When I was sitting there, kid you not, the whole room filled up ice cold, demonic presence. And I heard the voice of Jesus speak into my life. Don't do it. Don't do it. I didn't. Got out of there and went and got help. All my 20s, I was either in halfway house, church army, whatever. And I would run to church, run to the world. Run to the church, run into the world. Could not stay sober more than a handful of months here and there. And here was the Lord starts coming real to my life. And here is the hope I'm going to start offering you guys. 2007, I was about 4 months sober. I was really trying. Guys, I hated getting high. I hated getting drunk. I just despised it. I've had 5 DWIs, convicted of 3. I hated that lifestyle. I was empty. I was hopeless. I was broken. Had 4 months sober, and I was really trying to get sober. And I met a beautiful redhead. There she is. She's got blonde hair now. But anyways, you heard my story here. I met this woman. I fell. I kid you not. Short of sounding like a crazy person, I'd go into Walmart. I just happened to be there every day. She worked at Walmart, and I'd go in there, and I'd see her walking around. And I told myself, I said, there's my future wife. And I stopped. I thought, man, I'm really losing it. I'm talking to myself. But I really said that. That's my future wife. And long story short, we got talking. The first thing I asked her, I was sick of it. I've been in any kind of relationship, lived with strippers, bartenders. I was sick of it. I didn't want nobody in my life that didn't love Jesus more than they loved me. And I said, where do you go to church at? She said, my dad's a Baptist preacher. I thought, oh, boy. Well, you're a Baptist. You know, I grew up Assembly and all that. And I said, that's awesome. And we got to talking, and I found out she has a beautiful voice, can sing any song in a hymnal. And I played guitar, had all these songs written. I was crying out to God, and she turned my songs into beautiful songs. We become real good friends. Her parents, Bill and Debbie Beach, that family is the first family that's ever showed me unconditional love. When I was down and out, I had people tell me how horrible I was, how awful I was. You're a piece of garbage. Get out of here. If I set foot in my brother's house, he had me arrested. So I said, oh yeah, let me show you how bad I can be. Her family showed me the love, mercy, and grace of Jesus Christ. The way they treated me made me want to do better. They encouraged me to do better. And the verse that started changing my whole life was Romans 5:8. The Bible says this, for God demonstrates his own love towards us. Yet, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I thought, wait a minute. You telling me I'm a meth addict and Jesus loves me? Yes. I'm an alcoholic and Jesus loves me? Yes. I'm vile, vulgar, foul, all, you just name it. Jesus loves me? Yes. I took off running after Jesus hard as I could. And one of my missions was to prove to her that you can lose your salvation. It turns out you can't. The Bible says you can't. So we'd have Bible studies, and I was bound and determined. Let me show you once they've always saved. In that process, God, let me show you. I said, okay, you're right. I loved my wife. I loved her family. I loved the church. But here's what I want to caution others about. I call it a season of faking. You ever seen any fakers in church before? You ever seen any hypocrites in church before? Come on now, right? Well, I was the number one hypocrite. I was the number one faker. See, I couldn't stay sober because I was faking it. Now I had my Jesus hat on, my Jesus necklace, my Jesus shirts. I was going to church. My wife and I was leading worship music. I was doing the verse of the day. The pastor seen that the God had to call my life to preach. I looked really good on the outside, spiritually speaking. But the inside, there was very little different other than I was a fake. instead of saying, I'm still tempted, I'm struggling, I have secret sins, I have secret faults, I say, oh, doing good. Praise Jesus. Glorify Jesus. The whole time I was dying inside. I'm going to look right at me because this is absolute truth. If you're struggling with any kind of sin, forget drinking and drugging. That's just part of it. Any kind of sin in the church, there is zero power, zero victory in that sin if there is no honesty. No honesty. You have to be honest before God, and you have to be honest before others. That's where the power is. That's where the victory comes in. And I wasn't about to do that. Because everybody thought I was so cool. I played guitar. I could not stay sober. Long story short, my addiction kicked right back after 18 months of being sober. Because I was a fake. Because my dishonesty exposed my hypocrisy. And my hypocrisy exposed my fakeness. If that's even a word. Here's what happened. I went off the rails, right back to the dope, back to the drinking, the fighting, the lying, the still, whatever it is. And I hated it. And her parents was the first people in my life. Her mom and my wife drove me to Church Army. Drove me. Now here's what I'm saying. If you have a loved one, it's an addiction, or if you're in addiction, even that love cannot overcome addiction. Even that love is not enough. There's only one name. There's only one person that has the power over addiction. His name is Jesus. One power. So as I wrap this up, get to the point, to give Jesus all the glory. I got married in 2008. My life went downhill again in 2009. I spent all 2010 spun out of my mind, destroying my wife, drinking, drugging. My life was an absolute mess. But it was even worse this time because I knew about Jesus. Didn't know him, but I knew about Jesus. And here's what happened. I couldn't go on living that way. I saw no way out. I tried church. I tried religion. I tried treatment centers. The jails tried me. All across, I tried everything that I thought that I could try. And everything failed. I was so addicted that if I had a chance to get dope, I would strain our bank account, I would hawk stuff, whatever you want to talk about. To the point where one time a drug deal fell through and I wasn't able to get it. I was so relieved that I went and bought my wife something nice. But if I had the opportunity to get high, there was no choice in it. I was completely controlled by Satan, completely controlled by addiction, and I was hopeless. So here's where Jesus starts to get the glory. And this is how everything turned around. Keep in mind, I grew up hearing about Jesus. I grew up in church, Christian school, led worship, done all these things, preach. I was nothing more than a big fake. 2010, I couldn't go on that way no more. I was in Harrison, Arkansas, run off my wife again. Came home, and she saw the state that I was in, and she literally crumble in the floor, just broken state. And I'd rather die than see that ever again. I didn't want to die. Didn't know if I was going to hell. But I can promise you, what I was living in was living hell, but even worse, it was living hell for the people around me, especially my wife. So I was at the end of the road, tired of playing games, tired of being a fake. All these things, no power, no victory, because there was no honesty. Run the back bedroom, grabbed a rifle. Came in the living room. This is August 19th, 2010. It'll be 7 years here in a few days. August 19th, I sit down on a fireplace and told my wife, get out of this room. I don't want you to see this. And my wife's on the floor crying, trying to talk me out of me shoving a rifle down my mouth. When your hand and your fingers are on that trigger and you're getting ready to end your life, let me tell you something. And no joke. It ain't nothing fun. It's a horrible feeling when you're getting ready to end your life, but you're that hopeless that you saw no other way. No other way. About an hour later, obviously, I'm not a zombie, so I'm standing here. Did not pull the trigger. August 20th, which is our recovery revival next week, here's what changed my life. I went outside in a broken, crying, sobbing state. And I was thinking, what else is there to do? And I looked up at the sky, told God out loud. I was out in front of Hilton, probably looked like a crazy person. Looked up and said, I don't believe you. Remember, I was in church. I was worship. I was preaching. I was doing worship music. And I said, I don't believe you. You said you'd help people. Didn't help me. You say you'd deliver people. You didn't deliver me. And I began to scream, yell, cry. And I screamed for everything I said. Help me believe. Every fiber of my being, I screamed out to God. Help me believe. And with that very moment, the presence of Jesus Christ came upon me in a way that has been more real to me anything in this world. More real than drugs, more real than drinking, more real than the depression, the suicidal spirit. Jesus Christ became real. His presence, and he told me, not a crazy person, his spirit spoke into me. He said, that's the first time you've ever been honest with me. It's the first time you've ever been real. The blinder resolve. I thought, oh my God, I don't believe in you. I can quote that Bible inside out, but it's not real to me. I would try and press him. Oh, I trust you, God. I believe you, God. Praise God. I had more hope he was there than I did believe. If I get real honest, I didn't believe. I said, all right, Lord. If you're really real, Jesus Christ, are you really risen? Did you really go to the cross? If you will save me, change my life, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I got real with God. I'm known for saying this a lot. I've got real with God. He got real with me. My life radically started changing from the inside out. The Bible says faith can move mountains, but it's got to be real. And the only way faith can be real if it's honest. And I started out saying, God, I don't trust you. Help me to trust you. God, I don't believe you. Help me to believe you. And I began to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Radically started changing. I was such a scared person. I was afraid to share the gospel. I was afraid to do nothing. He woke me up months later in January 30th. He told me to preach his gospel. From January 30th, 2011, I've been preaching Jesus, teaching Jesus, witnessing Jesus. I've been telling people what I'm telling you right now. That Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. Jesus Christ will save your soul. Jesus Christ will set you free. Jesus Christ is greater than sickness, death, anything. The question is, have you come to the cross? You see, I've come to many altars, all kinds of denominations, 4 different states. I'd run up here, cry some guilt off. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need you. The whole time I was holding on to my life of sin. Whole time I was hanging on. Lord, help me. Help me. And while I was holding on to sin, guess what? Sin was holding on to me both hands. They call it the full gospel. Let me tell you what the full gospel is. It includes repentance. We are taught to believe in Jesus, pray to Jesus, call on Jesus, but we always leave out repentance. There is no salvation without acknowledgement of sin. There's no salvation without being willing to lay it down. When I came to Christ, I said, I'm a meth addict. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I just laid it out there and said, I can't change. I've tried. I told him just what I thought. I said, but will you take this away from me? I'm asking you today, in closing, have you been to the cross? How was that? What does this man preach his own niece's funeral? I was taken back that he was preaching Jesus. He was preaching to that funeral home, Jesus. He was trying to preach those people into heaven. His niece was in heaven. He was sure of that. She was laying right there. Her body was, anyways. Know what he's worried about? He's worried about souls. He's worried about, are you really saved? Are you really born again? Then we got to December day. He was still preaching it. I was taken back by that man preaching Christ. Let me ask you this. I don't care. Let me rephrase that. It don't matter how long you've been in church. Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you came to the cross? This is a makeshift cross, by the way. I'm not discouraging the altar. This is exactly where you need to be. But the altar don't change you. The cross does. Praying a prayer don't change you. Jesus does. Are you saved? Are you born again? You see, that's just my story. The only place you're going to find the real Jesus is at the cross. The only way you're going to find power is at the cross. The only place you're going to find change is at the cross. The only place you're going to find hope is at the cross. I know a name that can change your name. I know a name that can change your heart. I know a name that can change your mind. And I know a name that can change your destiny. Change your destiny. And I know the Word of God does not turn void. I know the Holy Spirit is alive and working. I said this at Rock Haven, not the best altar call, brother. But I told them, I said, if anybody is moved by emotion, you sit down. You sit down. Because emotion don't get you saved. Emotion don't get you right with Jesus. When the Holy Spirit convicts your heart of sin, when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart that you're not living right, that gets you saved. And I told him, now if the Holy Spirit is moving, you better run up here. I don't like running up altar calls. Because I used to walk away thinking, well, I prayed the prayer. But I talk the same. I act the same. I still hang out with the same people. I watch the same things. I listen to the same kind of music. Why am I not different? But when I came to Jesus, everything started to change. Everything. I encourage you, if there's somebody sitting in here today who's prayed that prayer, but you're afraid to get honest, come forward. I had to do it. I know a deacon. I want to give my testimony in Newton County. Deacon was a deacon for 9 years. For 9 years, he was not saved, was not born again. He came forward. His deacons gathered around and thought they was going to pray. He said, no, sir, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Guys, this ain't no joke. Is God speaking to you? Is God dealing with your heart? Religion is not going to save you. Church ain't going to save you. Denomination ain't going to save you. Rob ain't going to save you. This awesome pastor is not going to save you. It's that Spirit that's speaking to you right now is what's going to save you. That Spirit is saying, come up for help. Come up here. Guys, every broken thing I had in my life, being molested, being torn, not having a dad, all these horrible things I talked about, Jesus brought healing to it. Jesus restored. Remember I said the Bible said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Jesus comes to give you life. Life more abundantly. Do you want life? I told a lady 2 days ago, she's mad at God, blaming God for a bunch of stuff. I said, you've been confronted with the gospel today. I told her, I said, the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. I said, you can serve Christ or serve the world. But if you choose to serve the world, it's on you. I said, you can't blame God. You've been confronted with the gospel. Billy Graham calls it the unescapable truth. I know for a fact there's people here God is speaking to. For a fact. God wouldn't have sent me here to share the gospel. Nothing to do with me. But he has something to say. Why he uses people, I'll never know. I'm going to invite the pastor to come back up here, please. If he wants to end with an altar call, I encourage you. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to let him pray. That's my testimony. What's yours? What is yours? Father, I pray for all those that are here, God. I don't know nobody's heart. I don't know anybody's mind. But God, you do. God, as you're looking into hearts, as you're looking into minds right now, I pray that you grant them repentance if they need it. Grant them faith to be saved, grace to be saved, whatever it is, Lord, if they need to come up here and just deal with you, to start over. Come up here and hit the reset button. Maybe they're saved, they just need to start over. I pray, God, they'll make that commitment and they'll respond to what you have to say, not Rob Willis, but what Jesus
has to say, God. Please hold Satan back. Hold the doubt, the fears, the lies, anything that will keep them from responding. In the name and authority of Jesus, I pray those things away, God, and that you will do whatever you intend to do for your glory, for your namesake, for your purpose, so that the name above every name will be glorified today. That's the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen.